It was a blessing to hear that song Kevin sang. Seemed to be fitting his voice really well. And just a blessing. Well, his mom and dad are here. And then you got to stand next to your dad in the choir. Is that right? Yeah, that's a good thing. See, his dad taught him how to sing, his dad and mom. So we're going to... Bruce is saying, yeah. But the group that sang that song or put it together, Among the Thirsty. Okay, and real good message. If you caught different ones, we're brokenhearted, but God would be near to the brokenhearted, save those crushed in spirit. So if you're wiped out by, you know, life, sin, your own sin, somebody else's sin against you, hey, He's going to be near to you, and He'll bring His salvation to you. So that's a great song. I'm completely surrendered. I'm yours completely. Those kind of phrases. We could pray to God, and He really works when we surrender to Him like that. So thank you all. Thanks for all the great music. Song of Solomon, that's what I'm going to call it because it's easier for me to say that than Song of Songs. And looking at the different books of the Bible, book number 22. So it's a love letter 22, God saying, I love you like this. This is the way I am in this Song of Solomon, written by King Solomon. Wanted to have one good relationship, you know. He tried many, many, many. But he wanted this one good relationship with this one wife that he would have. Now, God's Word says a friend loves at all times. Boy, what a high calling that is. A friend loves at all times. So that's the way the Lord treats us. He calls us His friend when we turn to Him and follow Him. And so what He wants to do is show us how to be a friend to others. You know, I don't know. It would be humbling to get people together, you know, all the people you've ever met and said, hey, have they loved you at all times? And there would be hesitancy to say, oh, yeah, definitely for at all times. Well, we'd say that about Jesus. So we're glad about that. In the Song of Solomon, the gal says about the guy, this is my beloved, this is my friend. So real close heart-to-heart going on there. Okay, not just an agreement on a piece of paper. Heart-to-heart faithfulness before God. He provides all that. We can't do it on our own. And we could say that to the Lord. This is the one I love. This is my friend. It's amazing God would want that kind of relationship with us. So it's a true testimony in the Song of Solomon of God's love and human love. Just a little survey. I don't think I'm going to get any hands on this, which is it's okay. Because of the intensity of the book. How many had the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, read at your wedding or a wedding you attended? Just put your hand up real, real high. Two, three, four. That's more than I thought. Okay, four, five. Good for you. Hey, tell me, if you could tell me what that was after church, that'll help me. I'll use it in a future sermon, okay? I'll leave your name out of it, but that's really good. Amen to that. Okay, not about the, you know, the way, just the physical appearance probably in that way. But this is a real open-hearted song, expression of human love, romantic love, physical love, faithfulness, monogamous love. So we get that picture of God's will for us, okay? Faithful love, honorable love, wherever we start. Our past might have been real, real broken, like Solomon's, but faithful love and love that's unconditional. He starts to express that. And it's, you know, it's so direct. If it was made into a true life story, you know, and said in the manner that's written, yeah, it'd probably be PG-13 at least. Okay. Sometimes when I read certain parts, I still turn red. I don't know what's wrong with me. But that's what happens, you know. And, it reminds me of a story of a reserve pastor, Pastor Jones, who maybe you could relate to. He was asked by his local high school to come and speak to the seniors about sexual ethics as they were going to graduate soon. So get in there with that perspective. And so being a reserve man, he put on his calendar, speak at high school on S. Okay, S. And His wife, of course, she has access to his calendar, looks at it, and says, I wonder what S is. I hope it's not sailing, you know. He's tried sailing, and he thinks that's his hobby, and so he's probably going to talk about that. I hope it goes well. So after he goes to the high school, gives his talk, somebody in the community sees Mrs. Jones and says, Mrs. Jones, your husband gave a great speech the other day, covered all the bases in regards to the topic, and he just was, you know, just told the truth, and it was fantastic. And Mrs. Jones says, that's really surprising, you know. And the man says, well, what do you mean? Why do you say that? Well, he's only, done that once or twice. And both times, you know, his hat blew off, you know. So, but that would be the reserved nature. But the Lord was not reserved when he wrote, the Song of Songs. And he wanted people to know, hey, it's a blessing to be in that kind of relationship. And the principles in the Song of Solomon go for friendship. It goes for how you treat other people, how you treat your neighbor. Especially goes for spouses. Goes for Christian brother and sister also. Okay. Closeness, heart. We received a lot from the Lord, so we're trying to pass that on to others. So the healthy relationships God wants are not for perfection. No one's close, but for a direction. We want to do it God's way. That's the yielding. That's the complete surrendering that is so important. So how does it apply? Friendship, Christian to Christian, husband to wife, especially the Lord to us. Okay. And so really a picture of, illustration of the Lord's love for us. The lady says to Solomon, you're like a secure seal on my heart, and you're like a seal on my arm. So God's saying to us, actually, you know, hey, you're written on the palm of my hand. It's like your name's tattooed on my arm. That's a metaphor, you know. And you're on my heart. So that's the Lord's intense caring for us. We are not off of his mind, okay? He's thinking of us, interceding, working, moving us toward himself. Great, wonderful love. So Jesus' love is the foundation for those relationships we have. I want to apply it mostly to marriage because that's what Solomon's relationship with this dear woman was. And marriage really is, for the world and for Christian people, it's really a 911 issue. By 911, it's like an emergency. Okay, stop everything and deal with this. Okay, that's what marriage is. And, if you've been through rough roads in marriage, you know the rest of life just don't seem to go well when that one's still in rebellion in some manner. So God calls us to turn to him and do it his way. And so I want to give you some basic applications of the Song of Solomon, but also some points from other parts of the Bible, especially guided by a fellow named Emerson Eggerich, who spends his whole life, his whole Christian ministry, on relationships and marriage. So take it to heart as best you can. And apply it to yourself. Now, I know in every church that gathers, about half the people are not married. Okay, did you realize that this morning? About half the people here not married. Okay? So they can, folks in that boat, which I was half my adult life, can go apply that to friendship, Christian relationships you have. Also, how you love your neighbor, but also for the future, and you'll like this one, also for friends that you know who just need prayer and encouragement, which is most of the sermons you listen to anyway. Don't you say, that was really for, you know, the Joneses. I mean, I wish they were here to hear that. We do that. In this case, you give truth and love to troubled folks if you're not in the boat of marriage right now. And so here's some things that are true from the Bible. One person with God is a complete person. Genesis says God made people in his image. Adam and Eve, the man and the woman, they are complete. God brings them together because it's not good for them to just be by themselves. But God is the one who completes them, not each other. So you want to steer away from the idea, which is sometimes true in popular romantic culture, dear, you complete me. Okay? You don't want to express that to anybody, whether it's a friend or a spouse. And you don't want to express that to anybody but the Lord. He is the one when we're hungry, we turn to. And we're thirsty, we turn to. Okay, so it's the priority of the Lord making you one and healthy and then able to share that with your spouse, with your friend, with your Christian brother and sister, with your neighbor. Okay, you're complete with the Lord, not because of the other one. So that's very important. Next one, real, real important, real, real difficult. Love and respect are unconditional gifts from God. We love because God first loved us. That's what 1 John says. And God has crowned each individual with honor. That's Psalm 8. And so it's really important to be able to give that to keep people in your life and really every human being that you meet, you know. Love, because God is love. Respect, because they're made in God's image. That's a given. Sometimes in the world, if I could pick on the world, they mean well, but this is out of bounds. They say, hey, respect has to be earned. Could you imagine that conversation happening in a marriage, you know? Respect has to be earned. Well, maybe trust has to happen over time, but respect has to be given by God. If I had, you know, if you and I had the attitude respect had to be earned, would pretty much say to almost everybody we meet, I have no respect for you because you haven't loved me and you haven't done anything to help me. But respect is a given. And that increases what God can do in the relationship, even when there's sin. If you respect a sinner because Jesus died for them and they're made in God's image, they're going to be much more open to you than if you say, I'll respect you if you go to church. I respect you if you read the Bible. Other than that, you know, I don't have time for you. That's not Jesus' way. Okay, so respect and love, unconditional gifts the Lord would give. Really important. And then in a marriage relationships, the husband loves his wife regardless of her respect. That's what unconditional means. Okay. I'm responsible for my calling. My calling is to love strongly, to put my wife ahead of my concerns and my needs. She's the first important one between me and Regina. She's the first important under God. Okay, if I get that down, that's gonna bless. Opposite is true. Pretty tough one for the gals. The wives respect the husband regardless of his love. She says, he's made in God's image. He, you know, Jesus died for him, and he's my husband, and I respect him because of those strong truths. I don't respect him because he brings me roses every week or, you know, just is so kind-hearted. No, you respect him because that's your calling from the Lord. And then as we do love, it motivates the respect of our spouses, guys. If you feel like, well, you know, my wife doesn't respect me. Love then. That's your calling. I haven't met many husbands who really love their wives and communicate that in just from the heart. They'll hear you. They'll hear your heart. That the wife says, you know, I never wanted that. People are receptive to the love given. And then the respect the wife gives motivates his love. Wives, if you feel like, well, you know, my husband doesn't love me, really show respect. I remember, I take it back to the days when I was a student teacher. My skills were very, very broken and not too swift. But I remember when certain classes would show respect, man, I would love those classes. And I started to be a better teacher, you see. So respect fuels love in terms of human relationships. Good on the work, job place, good on the neighborhood, all those things. Also, that intimacy God calls us to, I just throw this out because it's important. It's God can make it right in terms of physical intimacy. And you put that into enjoyment with one another. And you talk about it and you have frequency of intimacy. And you make a point of that. And guys, I just wanted to say this is very basic, you know, you probably got it in premarital, that the guys are the microwave, gals are the crock pot, okay, in terms of intimacy. Yeah, the gals say, I'll be intimate, you know, you please be nice to me the whole day because I'm not going to just drop everything and be intimate with you. Sorry. Guys are like, you know, well, I could drop everything and be intimate, you know. That's no problem. I guess the whole world's like that. No, the whole world's not like that. So you approach the other person from the point of view of where they're at. I love you all the time, so it's God will have that be part of who we are. And please work it out and know the difference. And you know what? That's going to be a part of the glue. Part of the glue. Most people get too busy for good love to each other. Okay. I'm not, I got to move on to this real quick. Excuse me for losing my place. I get all thrown off when I talk about the physical intimacy. This is very important. Number five. Biblical theme that Solomon felt toward his wife and she to him. I'm not looking to you for an answer. I'm looking to you to walk beside me. This is real important when one of the people in a relationship, friends or couples, share what's going on. We don't just want the answer. You know who you're going to have good fellowship with, Christian brothers and sisters? Those who walk beside you. And it takes time, you know, so be patient with each other. But an answer, you can get an answer from a book. Right? You can get an answer from a book. You can get an answer from Google. You just type it in and they'll give you, half it will be wrong, but they give it to you. And then, but you're looking for somebody to walk beside you. And guys, please do this for your wife. Because it's sometimes lonely to be somebody who thrives on love. And Mr. Busy, you know, Mr. Busy who says, well, I work 8 hours a day, you know, but they make me work 14 hours a day. And sorry, dear, you know, we do get to eat hamburger a lot, so that's good. Walk beside her. That's very important. Gals, walk beside him when he acts like he does, or I was going to say, first leave him alone and then walk beside him. Right? If you've been married, you know what I mean. Okay. Marriage and relationships are a part of our witness for Christ, so work at them. They do take work. Again, be patient. It was providential, of course, that Paul, he talks about husbands, wives, children, not slaves, but employees. No slaves anymore. So please make that transition in the middle of Colossians. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. And then towards the end, he says, work at it with all your heart. And then right in the middle, he says, husbands, wives, children. So he really wants us to work on those relationships, you know. Put your heart into it. When I work on my marriage as hard as I work on being a pastor, the marriage is better. If I say I give my best effort for, you know, the preaching, and I go with walk with Regina once a week, you know, isn't that great, you know? That sounds pathetic, you know. But you work at your relationship, okay? Take it as a blessing. Write down the things that are great in your spouse. And if God wrote that list down, He'd have 1,000 things great about your spouse. And so maybe even a brother and sister in Christ that say, oh, yeah, I can see there this and this and this. Well, you write them down in your soul or on a piece of paper, and you say, this is true about you. This is true about you. And God blesses there. You put your wife first. You put your husband first. We have to admit before God confession. Husbands, confess we are not good at loving. Okay, and putting our wife first. We are not good at that. We sin about that. So we have to say, Lord, I'm not good at that. Help me be good at that because I know, Jesus, you're good at that. So if I do that with you, I'm going to start to get good at loving my spouse. So we admit our sin and we go with it. Wives, same deal. Wives aren't good at submitting to their husbands. You know, it's just, you could understand why. But they're just not. And so you say as a wife, you know what? I'm not good at that. But with Jesus' help, I can be good at that. Because he became a servant, you know, in his attitude. And you always hold the other one accountable. There's tough love between the friends, the Christians, and the spouses. Okay. Next one. It's more important to maintain the relationship than be right in non-eternal issues. When you communicate with your spouse, please remember that. If you try to be right 75, 80% of the time in your discussions you have with your spouse, I feel bad for your spouse. You'll probably be right 51%. Okay? Somebody has to have the 49. So that's it. But maintain the relationships. On eternal issues, you say, no, this is God's way. We're doing it. And if you don't come along, it's your loss, buddy. But we speak you speak words that are truthful, uplifting, forgiving, and thankful. I'm slow on number one. Just to let you know right off the bat, which I think you probably sensed. I love truth, but it's like if I speak this truth, I'll probably do it. I'm going to blow them away. And it's my own lack of love that would blow them away, not the truth. But you could be truthful, uplifting, forgiving, and thankful. Speak as you would in the presence of Christ. That's what Paul said. And he was constantly, you know, the Corinthians went this way and Paul went this way. But he says, we could speak as in the presence of Christ and he's going to have us move forward his kingdom. Just a fantastic thing. And we're done with those illustrations. Just one final one, please, if you would. You commit yourself to the Lord. You surrender those relationships to Him. He can make them right. Testimony time, which I can get away with because Regina's in the nursery. Both of us came from very, very families that, you know, they didn't always get along. I'm not talking about across the board. I'm talking about home life for my wife. Dad was gone by age 8. No dad. Fight, fight, fight. That's all she knows. Okay. My life, or family, hung together through a lot of pain. So we brought all that, you know, so what are we going to do? We're going to fight, 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 and we're going to hang in there. That's all we know. It really takes the Lord to make it go in an opposite direction. And He really can. He's good at that. So surrender this area to the Lord. And in closing, your own soul with God. Remember when all husbands and wives are a reminder of the gospel. Because this is really important. If you're kind of uncertain about Jesus. The Father says to Jesus about you. Listen to this. He says, Jesus, do you take this sinner to be your own? Just like at a wedding. Jesus, do you take this sinner to be your own? And you and I are that sinner. And Jesus says, I do. I do. And then the Father says to us, and sinner, do you take Jesus to be your own? Do do you take Jesus to be your own? And we say, oh my. We say, I do. I do. You know, and the two are one. And Paul said it. It's like a mystery, but it's Jesus and his dear children. Could you be that way toward the Lord? Surrender those relationships to Him. One of the hardest parts of being a Christian, but one of the most blessed. We give it. We let the Lord lead us. Okay, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we look to You. We'll just make it a silent time, Lord, where maybe we take up some of the words of some of the songs we sang, and we say, doing it the right way is Christ in us. Holiness is Christ in us. Completely surrender. Family life, friendship life, Christian fellowship life. And we say, with brokenness, we've done all these things not well. But we say with faith, with Jesus, we could do it really good. We could actually be a blessing in relationships. So hear our silent prayers. Father, we surrender to You.